See, you can't just talk about communion. You got to do communion with the master. You just don't say you love God. You do love God. You have to love. It has to be an action. And the engine of God's church is not the singing. It's not us coming together and just showing up, but it is prayer. You, hey, amen. You show me a people that prays, you'll find a people that knows how to follow God. Prayer is not vain repetition. Prayer is not just beat your gums, but prayer sometimes is beyond words. Prayer's beyond what man could ever utter. Sometimes it's things that you can't even utter. Amen. It's things that just starts coming out. Amen. And sometimes it's just with your mouth closed that you're still praying and heart to heart with God. Oh, friend, I want to feel after him and find him. He's not far from every one of us tonight. He's a God that cares about you. You ought to thank God for his blood glory, his power, his peace. I know what prayer can do. Hallelujah. It feels good to feel Jesus in the house tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The greatest insurance policy you will have and the greatest assurance policy you will have is not to have a piece of the rock, but to have the rock underneath your feet. Amen. We need Jesus, don't we? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to go to John the 10th chapter tonight. We could quote it, but I'd rather read it. I'd rather see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thankful for the word tonight and our guests that are here. God bless you. Amen. Sister Kara. Amen. Make that announcement real quick about the tamales. I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. John the 10th chapter. I feel the anointing of the Lord in this place. Amen. Oh, friend, that's the help that God gives, doesn't it? The anointing of the Holy Ghost, that flow, that vein of his spirit. John 10 and verse 10, the word of the Lord says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's not content for you just to be captivated, captured, an inmate. But he wants to kill you and to destroy you. I want you to think about this. What good when he kills you, and what good is it? You know, you're already done. But that's not what he's just talking about. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy any seed or anything that you have in your life, any part of your testimony. You see, your testimony will outlive you when you live for God. If he can get your testimony, and if he can get your head and your sense and your life, and it can fool you and fool around you, he'll destroy everything in your life. Amen. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they may have life, and it more abundantly. Are you thankful for the promise of God tonight? Hallelujah. Lift your hands, Lord. We thank you tonight for your grace and power. Thank you for your goodness and word, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We thank you for the freshness of your spirit in this house tonight, God. That oasis that flows right now for my soul. Lord, for the healing waters that are here. The comfort, Lord, that you have in the Holy Ghost. The power that you have in our lives. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we thank you tonight. Let's thank the Lord. Put your Bible down. I want you to give the Lord thanks tonight for his presence. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Come on, he's come that you may have life and it more abundantly. Woo! Hallelujah. You ought to lift your head up and you ought to shout to God with a voice of appreciation. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Oh, the enemy loves to use all kind of ways. And we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. He's full of devices. He's got methods and modes and mannerisms that you need to realize. Amen. And friend, he's not always in the opening either. He's always sneaking around doing, amen, in such a sly way. Amen. Oh, I can remember as a little kid, we used to sing the song in children's church, "The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I will put him in a box. Lock that box and throw away the key for all the mean tricks he played on me." Well, are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. The fox is not locked up tonight. But he's out to kill and destroy. And you see, amen, when somebody's dead, amen, even though you die, I want something to outlive me. Amen, when my life is o'er, I want my testimony, amen, to still be shining bright. You see, the enemy could take your life, or life could take its toll, and you could meet that appointment called death. But I pray that when your appointment comes, that your testimony still stands. I preached funerals before where I had to scratch my head. And I've been to funerals where some old popsicle preacher got up here. And he talked about them, oh, they're in heaven right now. And I almost want to run up and look and see if that was the same person. Because I know they lied and they cheated all the way to the finish line. But I love it when I get to have the privilege when somebody's laid in the front of the church and they have walked with God. They have talked with God. They've had a relationship with God. Friend, amen, I don't have to preach their funeral. Their life already begins to bring it out. Amen. The Bible says, "Be thou an example in word and in deed and in conversation." I want that light to shine in my life. That's the reason you got to guard your testimony.
That's right.
Testimony is not what you give at testimony service. It's what you live outside of the church service. All right now, hallelujah. Amen. God is looking for somebody to follow him. Know your enemy. Know the enemy. Want to tell, I say this all the time, Brother Zach, to finish it. The enemy is not the devil. If you go to hell, Brother Zach, who will put you in hell?
Myself.
The man in the mirror. He hears me say that many times on Thursday. When I'm talking to inmates and people, amen, oh, the devil's real, folks. But I'm thankful I have a God who's real. But when you know the motives, and don't you ever think that you're exempt. He said, if I could even deceive the elect of God, if he could come and get a hold of you, if he could come and get a hold of you, you may feel comfortable. Well, Pastor, I do good. I have everything in order. But friend, it only takes one little thing, one little stumble, one little open door. And when the enemy comes in, he comes in like a flood. But that scripture's misquoted many times. When the enemy comes in, but like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a banner. The enemy ain't flooding in. The banner of the Lord would flood the place. When you live for God, God lives for you. Amen.
Amen.
Enemy wants to test you. But if you don't pass the test, you'll never have a testimony, friend. God wants the church to be the church, the overcomers. God wants the people of God to know how to walk and talk with Him, how to relate to Him. Amen. How to know Him. Amen. To know His voice. The scripture said, my sheep know my voice. There's something about it. The voice of the great shepherd in my life. Amen. I love the scripture says, a good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. A beautiful. And it comes out to say that I'm come that you may have life. I'm glad for life. But it more abundantly. More than I can handle on this side of the earth. More than I can handle in this part of my life. This little fraction and vapor that we call your life. God has more to come when you walk with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for that great assurance policy? Are you thankful for the rock of ages? Amen. The storms of life may come, but I'm thankful for the rock that will keep me. Troubles will try you. Problems will try you. People will try you. Attitudes will try you. But I'm glad that I can stand and withstand in the evil hour, being fully armored in God. The Bible says put on the whole armor. Half armor won't do. Partial living for God don't work. You need the whole armor of God. You need to be in the boat to get to the other side, folks. Let me tell you, amen, there's a lot of people that feel I'm okay being an occasional weekend warrior. God's army is not made up of weekend warriors. God is looking for full-time, fully committed, fully persuaded individuals that keep the prayer fire going. The enemy loves to sift, to call you out. And folks, he's not just after the weak. He's after the strong. He's after those that hold up the banner of righteousness. His target is on you, friend. But as long as you're fully armored, you have the helmet on, the breastplate of righteousness on, your loins girded with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, you're going to be able to stand and withstand in that evil hour. Hallelujah. But He wants your testimony. He wants to knock your lights out. He wants people to look and say, obviously, she didn't really have a relationship. Look. Oh, she just had a church going deal. It was just a culture thing. But oh, friend, I love it when somebody goes to the grave with a torch still lit. Amen. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. You didn't have a made up mind tonight. My old Cajun pastor used to say, if you have a made up mind, your journey's half made, friend. Amen. I want a made up mind. You need to be fully persuaded. It bothers me. There are those that will compromise the closer they get to the finish line. Friend, we don't need a compromise. We don't need a compromise. You don't need a compromise. You need to become stronger in your relationship with God. The weaker your body gets, the stronger your faith should be. I want to just tell you, amen, this man, Brother Larry Coon, back in his days, longshoreman, pipe fitter, was a very strong man. But while he was strong physically, there were people walking around him. They knew this man was strong. He'd knock the fire out of them. But Brother Coon, in your weaker hour, God wants to make you a stronger man than you've ever been. Not one that can handle a 100-pound sack from a ship, But God wants you to be able to handle, amen, the winds of opposition, the things that come against you. Amen. The enemy has come against you. But I'm thankful that my God is come that you may have life and it more abundantly. Hallelujah. There are those that are tossed around with every wind of doctrine. Right. Hear me?
Come on.
You better stay docked with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Sick and tired of men that I grew up here and preaching, that preached youth camps that my wife and I went to as a kid.
Come on.
That stood on conference floors and preached to 30,000 plus. A man said, I want to share something with you. He said, listen to it for yourself. And this well-known preacher gets up and calls and says, if you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior, come down this aisle. He joined hands with those that would walk down the aisle and said, repeat this prayer after me. If I called his name tonight, amen, it'll make some of you sick. Because this man was a mighty anointed preacher of the gospel. Amen. His wife was killed in a car accident. And he went through a trial. He come through it victoriously. God gave him another wife. And he was strong in the faith. But tonight, something came. Amen. Oh, friend, just because you get old, you don't have to get cold.
Right.
Hear me.
Come on.
Woo, I thank God for praying people. I thank God for people that love the doctrine of repentance. Let's just stop there for a moment. Repentance is still repentance to God. He said, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. Except you repent. Folks, we're living at a time and an hour where repentance is no longer preached in churches. This old flesh must die out. Your will must die out. You must lay yourself down at an altar and crucify this flesh. It's more than me just coming and shaking a preacher's hand.
That's right.
I'd rather have 10 faithful people that love God than I have 1,000 and just 10 people there that were real. We got enough plasticness, phoniness. We got enough performance. Well, we need a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn, then we'll hear from heaven. Powder me, pat me around, put a little stuff in my diaper. My friend, amen, the reason why they have diaper rash on some people that have been around church is because they never graduated.
Come on.
They're still in the baby's mode. You got to grow up in God. You got a hunger. You talked about it, brother. A hunger and a thirst after righteousness. You're going to stumble. Hear me. You're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. But you better learn to learn from your mistakes. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, I need you. We don't get good to get God. We get God to get good. I need the righteousness of God. But you can't wear the breastplate of righteousness till you put the helmet of truth on. You better have something on your head, amen, and something in your mind, amen, that says, God, I got to have you. Hallelujah. A hunger and a thirst after righteousness. The Bible says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm telling you, amen, God feeds according to your appetite. I said, God feeds according to your appetite. God is looking for people to get hungry in this hour. Hungry. You need to get tired of the baloney of this world. You need to get tired of the fast food religion. and say, God, I want an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. I want preaching that stirs me, preaching that moves me. I want the Word of God to get a hold of my heart. God, put the fire back in us. Oh, God, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Hunger, an appetite for what's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody's heart tonight. It's worth giving everything to God. I had one old lady one time we were talking to. She said, well, what do I need to give up? And I looked at her and I said, everything. If you can't give up everything and all of you, amen, you're not going to make it to the other side. Does God have complete ownership of your life? You see, there are those that call him Lord. But if he's Lord, he's going to be Lord of all things. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Come on, you know I'm talking to hearts tonight. I'm here to strengthen the wall. I'm here to sure something up tonight in the Holy Ghost and tell you the thief is doing his job. He's not just wanting to knock you out, but knock the potential of somebody else out. Amen. Keep your light burning. Keep the testimony burning in your life. Amen. Back to the doctrine. We still need baptism. But baptism don't do you any good if you're not repentant. There's a lot of people get wet. Didn't John say, bring forth fruits meet for repentance? Repentant life. There's going to be some fruit there. There's going to be some things that you more than gave up. You see, my Catholic background, I never was a Catholic, but I had a great-great-great-grandmother that was, and I had relatives. And I grew up in a Catholic environment. And their mind is, this time of the year, they're called Lent. Now, some of us country folks, Lent was what? We got out of the dryer. Some got it out of their belly button. But they call it Lent. Let me explain it, Coley. Lent, to some people, is a time right before Easter where they say, we got to give up something. Some people say, I got to give up coffee. Some say, we don't eat meat. Some people, I'm going to tell you, when you fast before God, you're not giving up, you're giving in. We're not just trying to give up something. We're trying to sell out something. We're trying to say, God, the worth of this is all about me coming closer to you. And when you truly repent of your sin, you're laying yourself down with it. Everybody wants God to take my sins away. Take that old stink off of me. Everybody wants God to give them a good washing. Lord, here's my sin. And they leave that altar without giving themselves. You got to give yourselves in repentance. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe it because the word tells us to. Except a man is born again of the water and the spirit, he can't see or enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen. Gotta have the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. I want you to hear it. I didn't say you just got to receive the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. And this is the finalizing crux of the matter with this. More than you having the Holy Ghost, my question is, does the Holy Ghost have you? Pastor, I spoke in tongues 27 years ago. You better do more than speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost better have you. God ought to possess you. God ought to be inside of you. He ought to be Lord of everything. Just because you speak in tongues don't qualify you. The Holy Ghost is not, hear me, a diploma. It's a birth certificate. Hear me? Amen. Just because you spoke in tongues, that's just the beginning, folks. You got to have a relationship, a walk with God. Amen. You got to have something that helps you make the steps of life every day. Amen. Alfred, God put you in this fight for you to win. God didn't want you to be a loser. God didn't want you to be an outcast. But he wants you to be victorious. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight for victory. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Victory belongs to the church of the living God. I'm tired of hearing where people, they lose out, they stumble, they fumble, they fail, and falter because of things that come against them. Well, they painted the building the wrong color. Or they chose the wrong color carpet, I don't like it. Then you better get a tough hide and live for God. Amen, a tough hide and a made up mind. Praise God. Amen. You better have some fight in you to fight the good fight of faith, to walk the walk, talk the talk, stand the stand. Hallelujah. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Enemy don't want a church right here. We're the greatest threat to Nacogdoches. Sin problem. But we're the greatest assurance, amen, for Nacogdoches. Amen, the greatest safety for Nacogdoches. When you keep the fire of prayer burning in your life, you want a powerful, impacting church? You want a safe harbor and a lighthouse here? Amen, you keep the fire burning in your personal life, and God will bless the church with prayer. Amen. Praise God. The enemy is after your victory. He wants to kill, wash you out, and everything that you fought for all the way, if he could get it and get your testimony, he's got you. 2004, the National Geographic magazine had an article, and they had some beautiful pictures there describing an attack on a moose by some Alaskan wolves. It was a pack of six different wolves that attacked a moose a week earlier. And they were unable to bring him down for the kill, but they continued their relentless chase of their prey. They continued to chase him. And the young bull moose had been attacked and wounded with a deep gash to his right thigh. And for a week he had bled in the snow, and it limped along with that pack of wolves in steady pursuit. Even though wounded, the moose was still dangerous as he lashed out with his hooves and his antlers. Very dangerous. A moose is very dangerous. Yet, killing him would mean the ultimate payoff for the pack. And they knew time was on their side if they continued to press their attacks against this moose. Well, the moose would knock him, stab him with his horns, throw him through the air. But it was like they would not give up. See, the wolves were smaller and less mass than the moose. But the thing that was to their advantage was teamwork against a lone victim. One experienced hunter jumps on the moose's rump and gouges the thigh muscles, trying to inhibit the moose's mobility, while another sinks his teeth into the moose's big old nose, preventing the moose from moving his head and defending with his antlers. Others in the pack begin to rip and clench whatever body parts they could get and manage to hang on to with their razor-sharp teeth. Remarkably, this moose had survived the initial attack, battered, but not yet beaten. All day, the wolves stayed and stalked the moose. Just when the moose would get just a breath of fresh air, it seems here come another attack. And they repeatedly forcing him and pushing him. And finally, they forced him into a freezing river, which immediately starts sapping his strength. He no longer shook his antlers at his pursuers. His protruding ribs rose and fell in the shallow breaths. His eyes became sunken and hollow. In the late afternoon, the moose scrambled back up the bank again to escape the icy waters. When a wolf closed in, hunter and prey locked eyes in what's called the conversation of death. Eye to eye, they stood there. And the wolves now seemed to sense that the moose moves from defense to acceptance. The wolves begin to rush the moose, and he's back into the river again and collapses. Two wolves haul that immobile bull to the shallows, and the wolves fed on him hungrily that day. A week earlier, the reason why this happened the way it happened, a week early, hear me, it all began with an act of isolation. As a young bull was separated from the herd, that isolated animal became the object of a team of predators that had set about him in their slow but certain death dance. They began to work on him. The tactics that were for defeat was this. First off, the first order of this moose's defeat was he became isolated. Hear me. He got away from the herd. Hear me tonight in this place. You need the house of God.
That's right.
You're not strong enough to handle the world by yourself. I need my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I need the voice of a pastor in my life.
Amen.
I need the voice of the great shepherd in my life.
Amen.
Isolation will never help you.
Right.
I watch people start missing church, getting so busy. And pretty soon, you miss two times as easy to miss three times.
Right.
You know, recovery or isolation is very difficult. Because every step back, you got to deal with condemnation. You got to justify yourself. You come back and you say, well, I just don't feel anything like I used to feel. And the enemy begins to mess with your brain. But it starts with isolation. 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 Not only from attendance to church, but isolation where you don't pray and connect to the Lord anymore. You don't read the Word of God. You see, you can't separate God from this precious book. When you start isolating yourself and connecting yourself from the Word of God, something starts happening in your faith. You don't put the armor on anymore. So you can't stand. You can't withstand. You become vulnerable with isolation. Folks, I'm thankful for the Word of the Lord. I'm thankful for the whole armor of God. Amen, because you stand with the whole armor. You got a God that stands with you. We don't need isolation. We need insulation. The best insulation is the insurance of God living in your life. Amen, staying close to God. Staying close to the people of God. Amen, walking with the people of God. Walking in harmony and concordance with the Word and the things of God and God's church. Isolation. Isolation. Enemy loves isolation. Look at your neighbor and say, the enemy loves isolation.
The enemy loves isolation.
The icy waters of isolation. Those lonely moments, you become vulnerable. Very vulnerable. Amen. I want to tell you, the loneliest place in the world is by yourself. Where there, the enemy begins to plague you. Opportunities will come when you're not walking with God. You're not accountable. You know what I mean? Isolation. The second thing that the tactics were for defeat was the wolves started hindering the mobility of that big moose. That moose is a powerful animal. Just Crosswhite would tell you, in Alaska, we were preaching for Brother Sanders there, his 10th anniversary services in Anchorage. And she went to a garage sale. And repeatedly, Brother Sanders said, "Y'all, whatever you do, if you see a moose, you need to get away quickly. There are more people die in Alaska from moose than there are grizzly bear attacks." So at a garage sale that day, there was a cow moose. They say a cow is worse than a bull moose when she has a calf. The people begin to steer clear. They went there just to pet the thing. They knew the danger there. And the wolves know if they can hinder that moose's mobility. It's crazy. Just like lions, wolves do the same thing. They start going two different places as a pack. They want, first of all, they want that jugular vein, and they want that hind area. If they could get the back quarters, and they could start working on its backside to where it cripples them down, they know they have a feast at hand. I want to tell you, the enemy wants your mobility where you can't move anymore. The enemy wants to stop you from marching and running to God. If he could get you to that place to stop your mobility, amen, where you feel, "I'm immobile, I can't do it any longer." That's the reason why while you are in the house of God, you need to get close as you can to the master and stay there. Hinder the mobility. The next thing the wolves did was prevent defense. They jumped on his nose, weighted him down, that he couldn't shake that massive head from side to side. He couldn't hook them and throw them. I want to tell you, you have power over the enemy when you live for God. When you're fully armored with God and standing and walking with God, you are a threat to the enemy. You have the armor of God on the power of God in your life. But if he can get a hold of you, amen, and prevent defense in your life, you become just a toy to him. He will feast off of you. And the next thing that was the thing was they kept nipping away at that great beast. They kept on nipping. They pull back and they would attack. Pull back and they attack. In their scripture in the book of Daniel, I think it is, that the enemy wants to wear out the saints. I want to tell you, the enemy wants to wear you out. He wants to keep nipping on you. He wants to keep chewing on you. He wants to keep tearing you. He wants to keep bringing you down. Amen. And pulling you back. Amen. Hear me tonight, saint of God. It pays to stay with God. Isolation brought this about. We need to stay close to the Lord tonight. Don't you dare run when God is trying to work on you. Don't you dare turn your back. The Holy Ghost is trying to convict you and trying to help you. Amen. We did enough running away from God. Amen. It's time to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But these tactics, number one, isolation, hindering the mobility, preventing defense, keep the constant nipping, eventually pull down the victim. And these young wolves licked the blood of the strong. And that night, their howls was a howl of rejoicing and triumph. Oh, how the devil would love to triumph tonight. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. I want to say tonight, don't shout, devil. Amen. Devil, you're not going to shout over me. Amen. I've got a made up mind that I'm going to stay close to God. Amen. Somebody needs to say tonight, devil, you're not going to shout over me. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be one that makes it. You better have the fight in you to stay close to God. Hallelujah. Because the enemy wants you to be isolated. The only thing he can get you to quit praying and start playing. You could pretend you could pray. I had boys I went to college with that get up there and they could preach. And you think, woo, them boys can preach. But I never seen them in the prayer room. They wanted a microphone and a pulpit, but they didn't know how to pray and fight the fight. Bunch of lying idiots. Even they want to worship the idol of performance instead of walking with God, talking with God. Amen. Hear me, not every man that could preach even has a relationship with God. We've had some people come to the pulpit before that were lying, that were cheating, and adultery. And I've learned, friend. We had one dude that came here and come to find out while he was with us. You know, he told me he is at Brother So-and-So's church. We were still in Central Heights, and man, he got up, and boy, he testified that night. And he preached, boy. I'm telling you, I had him to preach, and it was amazing. Our evangelist that was scheduled the next night was gave me a call, and he said, Brother, I can't make it. I am so sick. I called this man that was passing through. I said, man, can you come? He came back and preached, and I believe somebody may receive the Holy Ghost. But while he was there, I received a phone call from an acquaintance of mine. He said, Brother, is so-and-so with you? Yes, sir. He said, you need to call this man who this evangelist said was his pastor. I picked up the phone. No one, I should have called the pastor in the first place. Called that pastor in Oklahoma, and I said, hey, brother, there's so-and-so attend your church, and it's one of your evangelists. He said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, that man that's preaching for you, that woman is not his wife. His wife is in my church. And he said, that man is a chain smoker. He said, he's messed up. And he said, Brother Crosswhite, he lied to you. Friend, I remember calling Brother Alvin Long. He said, Brother Alvin Long, I'm going to pay the man. I'm going to be right with that, but I'm sending him down the road. I stopped at Brother Long's house. He was our secretary. He wrote me a check, handed it to me. I pulled up the hotel where they were staying, and out there under the canopy, Mr. was out there smoking his cigarette. He didn't recognize my pickup truck. Even I got out of that truck, and I said, here's your check. I said, I know all about you. You have lied. You're an adultery. And you're a thief. Amen. You've run off with somebody, left your wife and kids back in Oklahoma. Folks, I want to tell you in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. It pays to know the right voice of God. Sometimes we get fooled, don't we? I've been fooled before. Amen. I've been messed around before by the enemy and by people who begin, oh, they look like they had it together. But hear me, saint of God, at this hour we're living in, if the very elect can be deceived, they will be deceived. But God wants somebody to get something inside of them that says, God, I got to keep my eye on the prize of staying close to you. Isolation. Isolation is the start for defeat. You better keep your appetite for God.
That's right.
Let's talk about a good appetite tonight, saint. A good appetite. You know, my mother always told us, you know, you don't need that junk food. There's a lot of people fill their spiritual life with junk food. I don't need the junk food. I need the word of the Lord tonight. I need the meat of the word of the Lord. Amen. I need some meat tonight. I need some strength. I need some things that will carry me forward in life. Amen. I don't need the junk food of this world. I don't need the flashing junk. Amen. I don't need the fog machines. I don't need the flashing screens. Amen. And the darkened buildings to have a move of the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what it takes. We're people that know how to walk with God and touch God and pray and live for God in this hour. That know how to push themselves through to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a push. Sometimes you got to press your way, amen, into a atmosphere with God. Sometimes you got to bow some things. Oh, I've been in church before where everything comes across the screen of my mind. But you know what, church? Like I said this morning, when you worship God, it's not just for you, it's for God. I want to give God my best tonight. How about you? I want an appetite that's hunger and thirst for the things of God. If the enemy could steal your appetite, if you get your appetite, it would get your affections. And the Bible says now, appetite, set your affections on things above. Not on the things of the earth. The enemy has you in his target. But hang on. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we hear that. We think the enemy's got his target on me. I'm doomed. No, no, no. The scripture didn't stop. But the Lord said, I am come that you may have life and it more abundantly. Oh, you're thankful for the good shepherd tonight. Oh, I feel the Lord right here so close right now. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to hell tonight. Amen. You don't have to be a loser tonight. You don't have to serve condemnation tonight. You don't have to serve, amen, that feeling of doom and despair. Amen. I got a God that loves me. He's still the great shepherd. He's still the good shepherd. And he stepped in this house. His sheep knows his voice. But I'm glad he knows his sheep's voice. Sometimes when my back is weak, when I pray, God, help me. I don't know what to do. I'm glad when I just look to the shepherd. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. Has your world ever been rocked? Has your world ever been shaken? Has your faith ever been tried? Amen. Has everything fallen apart before and it seems that the wolves were hanging on you? It's been there. Come on, where the teeth of the ungodly are sank in you and pulled you, amen, and begin to work on you. Come on, I know somebody here tonight, amen, things have come against your mind before, amen, you felt there was no hope, you was ready to throw the towel in, you was ready to say I'm finished, but I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord, amen, the great good shepherd knows how to reach in, amen, and take the little lamb out of the teeth of the bear, out of the teeth of the lion, amen, oh friend, he knows how to rescue you. Even the moment where everything seems to go against you. I love that scripture. If God be for you, who can be against you? And I love to use it this way. If God be for me, who's the devil compared to God? You know, I had a pastor one time told us, he said this. He said, one of these days we're going to realize, you mean that little thing? That little thing? That's what was the devil? You mean that has caused so much problems? You mean that little thing has deceived so many? I love the scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm telling you what, God filled you with the Holy Ghost. He didn't come to just give you a little kiss. He didn't come to give you a hug, but he's come to give you life and it more abundant. He's come to give you power and grace to make it. One more punch.
Come on.
There's people who want to rebuke the devil. The Bible says resist the devil. Do you have resistance? You better have resistance. You better have some resistance in you. You better have some backbone in you. I talked to some people the other day and I said this. There's a lot of people have jawbones and wishbones, but no backbones. You need a backbone. But I'll tell you how to get a backbone when you have prayer bones. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Hear me tonight. When somebody knows how to fight the fight, they know how to get into the realm of a holy place with the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Not a jawbone. Not what you say. It's not what you wish for.
That's right.
Amen. But a backbone to stand.
Amen.
And say, I'm not going to bow.
That's right.
For the God that I serve is well able to deliver me. Amen. Stand, lift your hands tonight. The Holy Ghost is in this place. Amen. I feel the hand of God right now. I feel the great arms of the Lord tonight. Amen. The strength of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel you need to get out of your chair. I want you to come to the front. Amen. And lift your hands around the amen. Around this altar area. Amen. Come on, get close to the pulpit tonight, right up in this area. Hallelujah. My Jesus. I feel a strengthening tonight in the Holy Ghost. I feel a strength for somebody tonight. You've been weary and well doing. Amen. Hold on. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. Amen. I feel victory tonight for the heart. Amen. God wants to put a fight inside of somebody. Amen. You've been weakened by the wolves of this hour. Amen. All things are coming against your testimony. But the grace of God is here tonight. The goodness of God has come. Hallelujah. Come on, get in the fight tonight. Come on, get in the fight. When you fight for the right, the God of heaven will fight with you. Side by side with you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Holy Ghost minister to you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you got something that the enemy don't have. You have the grace of God. You have the goodness of God. You have the blessings of God. You have the favor of God. Amen. If God be for you, who could be against you? The odds are stacked in favor to those that seek him. For those that seek him, find him. You want to worship him. The Holy Ghost is here. Come on, I feel something falling. I feel some walls of resistance falling. Hallelujah, the things of the enemy falling. Hallelujah. I will not be defeated. I will not be moved. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, God. Come on, don't stop here. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost wanting to come on in. Come on, there's a greater anointing for this church tonight. There's a greater anointing for God's people tonight in this place. Come on, press your way to the throne of God. Pastor, I feel numb. My faith is numb. My feelings is numb. The Holy Ghost is here tonight to revive somebody that feels numb on the inside. Come on, the storm has numbed you. The old things in life has numbed you tonight. I feel the vibrance of the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, God's wanting to revive somebody's faith tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, if you feel led, lay your hand on somebody's shoulder. Amen. And pray with somebody. God, revive my faith. Revive my fight. Revive my hunger. Revive my appetite, Lord God. Work on me, Jesus. Don't let me slip away. Come on, don't stop here. Amen. The Holy Ghost is trying to work tonight in this house. Come on, there's something deep that the Lord is wanting to dig up. Amen, there's some old roots. Amen, the Lord is wanting to dig up tonight. Amen, God wants to replant something greater in its place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you pray tonight with as if that person right next to you? If you, even though you know them, but you don't know where they're at right now, I want you to pray for them tonight with a sincere prayer. God, would you help them and fill their tank, fill their faith. Fuel them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Get a hold of their faith, Lord. Come on, we're praying with eternal beings tonight. This place is full of people headed in eternity that don't need to be easily isolated or deceived. every excuse. Oh God, the joy, the peace, the way of the authority of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Tim. Eternity's too long to be without God. Hallelujah. Come on, the help of God is in this house right now for you. Give me ears to hear, God. Give me a heart to receive. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord liberty tonight. The Lord is working right now. The Lord is working. He's speaking tonight. Come on, the hand of the Lord is working on somebody's soul right now. Come on, there's a difference being made tonight. There's a victory that God has for your soul. Hallelujah, Jesus, in your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Holy Ghost strengthen you right now. I feel the strength in the Holy Ghost for souls in this place. Hallelujah. Would you touch the Lord with me right now? Come on, would you touch the Lord with me? Come on, son of God, touch the Lord with me. hungers right now. Right now. Pray, God, for hunger inside of Jennifer. We just reach to the Lord. The Lord's here. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to help me pray for Jennifer right now. Amen. I met Jennifer before. Amen. Some time ago. Amen. She's been doing good, but she needs the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jennifer knows what Acts 2:38 is. She's been taught that. Amen. But I want you to pray for the power of Acts 2:38 in her life. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for Jennifer tonight, God, for that wholesomeness. Lord, I want you to heal her past, God. That keeps trying to pull her back. In the name of Jesus. Give her healing and victory, Lord. This precious lady, God, you're ready to put beauty, health, and strength inside of Jennifer. Surround her. Put your angels, your glory in Jennifer. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for Jennifer, your grace for Jennifer, your peace for Jennifer. Tonight, God, let her feel that difference. Let her know that difference, Jesus. So gently, God, let your hand reach in as a shepherd. Deliver her, God, from these habits that lead her right back to the same thing. Lord, make her strong. Make her strong. That's what you're all about, Jesus. You love Jennifer like you love me, God. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands, saints of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for victory and joy in the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for breaking every chain, oh Lord. Every chain, oh God. Woo. Hallelujah. Would you pray for victory for Tim? Come on, this could be his night. Amen. Don't ever give up on a soul. Let's believe the Lord to touch him. Thank you for joy, Jesus. Amen. Would you thank the Lord for the joy of the Holy Ghost? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you for that joy, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Put that joy in Tim Owens tonight, God. Put that joy in their soul tonight, God.